Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. If you've been listening very long, you know that on June 29th at our corporate prayer meeting, 2008, we were praying concerning America, praying concerning Israel and the nations, and we were focused on the upcoming election in November. Suddenly, there came down a prophetic spirit upon me, and I spoke with a strong anointing. One thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. Thoughts shot through my mind. The Great Awakening, American history, the best person could be elected from the whole earth. And it wouldn't help unless America turned to God. Since that time, I have studied the Great Awakening. We have a letter, a partner letter that's posted online where you can catch up and see the things that we've been studying about this Great Awakening. America was born out of a Great Awakening. There would not have been the unity of the 13 colonies if there had not been the Great Awakening. Even secular historians agree. Harvard professors from Delaware University. I've studied James Madison, historical societies. Folks, it is a fact this United States of America was born out of a Great Awakening to God. And in that first Great Awakening, there were characters that we've talked to you about. One was a black poetess. We've read you some of her poems. This week, we're going to be talking about a character who was a Jew, Chaim Salomon. And we are offering a book, Forgotten Patriot, The Story of Chaim Salomon, that is written by Dr. David Allen Lewis, one of our best prophecy teachers who's now gone on to be with the Lord. He wrote a wonderful book about this man, and he started out by pointing out that in the bicentennial celebration of our nation, we printed some stamps in a way that had never been done before on both sides, picture on one side and on the glue side. I think there were four of these stamps, might have been more, and they were heroes of the American Revolution. This one, to Chaim Salomon, said on the glue side, financial hero. Businessman and broker Chaim Salomon was responsible for raising most of the money needed to finance the American Revolution and later to save the new nation from collapse. We're going to be talking about that more this week. But right now we're going to go back and see the connection of the Jews who came here in those early days with the Puritans, with the others. They happened to meet in Holland. They first met in Holland where Puritans were fleeing from England because they had been persecuted, and also the Jews were fleeing. They had been persecuted as well, and they met up in Holland. Now, I'm going to read to you from a book, ANZACS, and that means Australian New Zealand Army Corps, Empires and Israel's Restoration, because the ANZACS played a big part in it. And there's a wonderful book by Kelvin Crombie. He is Australian. He's lived many years in Israel. And you can go online to find it. We used to carry it, but I don't believe we do anymore. So he's writing about the situation because it was the ANZACS and the British forces who began to free Israel there at Beersheba in the south from 400 years of Turkish rule. Now, he's explaining what things were like socially in those days. Britain, during the 16th and 17th centuries, was also a nation undergoing far-reaching changes. The birth of her seafaring empire was set in motion. Simultaneously, she was completing her break with the Roman Catholic Church, a process already set in motion by the movements of Luther and Calvin on the continent. One group of reformers were the Puritans. They desired to completely purify the church in Britain of all taints of the Roman Church. The Puritans, known for producing the Pilgrim Fathers who sailed to America, also developed a keen interest in the Jewish people. This came about due to the Puritan desire to refute all Roman Catholic doctrines and positions. The standard Roman position concerning Israel was basically that as the Jewish nation, had represented by its leadership, had rejected Jesus as their king and Messiah, therefore Israel had forfeited all privileges as pertaining to God's chosen nation. All such unfulfilled promises and privileges recorded in the Bible henceforth were entrusted to the Roman Church, which became in effect the new or the spiritual Israel. According to this theology, there was to be no further restoration of Israel to her land and no preeminent position for the Jewish Israel, according to the flesh. So this line of thinking ran, and it was that Jews and Israel were under an eternal divine curse. This doctrine concerning Israel was challenged by certain Puritan scholars. Now, what happened was, during the Dark Ages, the Bible was hid away, and the common people could not read it. It wasn't made available to them. They couldn't have read it if most of them did not read. And this doctrine of, it's called replacement theology. And I'm very sorry to tell you that it's not dead in the earth. And replacement theology, which usually finds its outlet in a very anti-Semitic way, replacement theology says that God is through with the Jews, and all those promises in the Bible that God's going to bring them home to Israel have nothing to do with modern-day Israel. In fact, they say that the modern-day Israel is just an accident that it's there. It's not an accident, folks. Read your Bible. Read Jeremiah 30 and 31. Read the book of Isaiah. Read Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, 39, on to the end of the book. You will see that God says he's going to bring the Jews home, and this is a sign to the nations that he is the real God. Now, this doctrine was discovered by the Puritans because they got into the Word of God. You remember when the Bible was not available to the common man, and certain people of historical value got it, the Gutenberg Press, and then there was other great saints of God who got the Bible into print for the common man, and those people were terribly persecuted, even burned at the stake, some of them, because they put the Bible so the common people could read it. Because before, it had always been taught that, no, you can't read the Bible, you can't interpret it. Because if you read it literally like the Puritans did, it says God's going to bring the Jews home. So they didn't want that out. But this doctrine concerning Israel was challenged. That was replacement theology. It was challenged by the Puritan scholars. And they surmised that if the Roman Church was erroneous in key doctrines, then doctrines concerning Israel, too, were erroneous. And so they began to write things. The Calling of the Jews was one of their early published accounts. And they wrote about how God was going to bring them back to their own promised land. They ran into the Jews. They confronted the Jews because they were kicked out. Many of them were. They had to run away from. Read here from his book again. Protestants and Puritans fled in large numbers, and many of them settled in Holland. Here the Puritans spread their teaching concerning the restoration of Israel. Even the Jewish people, many of whom being descendants of the refugees from the Spanish Inquisition, were influenced by the Puritan viewpoint. One renowned rabbi, Manasseh ben Israel, later journeyed to England to meet with Oliver Cromwell, the leader of the Puritan Commonwealth. He pleaded for the re-entry of Jewish people into England who had been expelled from England in 1290. So the Jews themselves, who had been pushed over, who had to run for their lives over into Holland, came into connection with the Puritans, and it was the Puritans who woke them up, you might say, to the promises in the Bible to bring them home to their promised land. And so as the Puritans taught them, they would again be gathered into their own land. And they eventually, Jews sailed with those early Puritans to America. And in the minds of those Puritans, this was like a new promised land over here, both for them and for the Jews. And so the Jews came. And then they came later, and we find coming later on a Polish Jew whose name is Haim Salomon, H-A-Y-M, they've spelled it. It means life, Solomon. And so we're going to read you about this Polish Jew. He came here at about the time the American Revolution was being born out of the Great Awakening. I'm going to read you from a children's book. Now, this children's book is out of print. I wish I could get it back into print. It's beautifully illustrated. And it's called Haim Salomon, American Patriot. And it's got a picture here of Haim sitting in front of his fireplace. You know, the illustrator has illustrated it. And he's reading a newspaper. The newspaper is the New York Gazette and the Weekly Mercury. From the children's book. That way we can all understand it. It's written for children. The newspaper headlines declared the shocking news. General George Washington losing to the British Redcoats. Army greatly distressed, said an article in the New York Gazette and Weekly Mercury. The troops have no meat. One of Washington's officers reported in the paper, many eat their shoes, shot pouches, etc. They need food, blankets, uniforms, and boots. Even their horses are hungry. No men, quote, no men ever went through more or greater hardships. However, says the newspaper, we are Americans and American soldiers. In January 1776, Haim Salomon sat reading the New York Gazette in his house on Broad Street in Philadelphia. How can I help, he wondered. I'm only a Jewish immigrant. Haim had just come to America from Poland. Although he missed his family and friends, he wanted more than anything to live in a free country. As a young man, Haim had traveled throughout Europe working in banks. He learned how to count money, save money, and loan money. He knew the price of silver and gold and understood what money from other countries was worth. For instance, he could exchange German marks for Russian rubles or Polish goldens for French francs. Along the way, he learned many languages, French, German, Russian, Italian, and English. And, of course, he knew Hebrew and Polish. Now in New York, he moved to New York. He put his knowledge to good use. In those days, colonists used English pounds and shillings as well as American paper dollars and pennies. Immigrants brought money from their native countries and kept using it in America. Haim was able to exchange or loan money for everyone. He was able to talk with his immigrant neighbors in their own languages. People found him honest and fair. They liked his good manners and gentle way of speaking. Haim Salomon. We'll read more tomorrow about how this man, one man, basically financed the American Revolution. We'll send you the book for $5. Just telephone us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447. We invite you to Awakening America Rally, Osage Beach, Missouri, March 16 through 19. Go online and register. We're also going to have an eschatology school April 14 through 17 on the Book of Daniel. Go to billybrim.org and register. I'm also going to have an Awakening America meeting in Collinsville, Oklahoma, around the 1st of May. We're praying every Wednesday. Join us streamed online every Wednesday. This is Billy Brown saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.